Sports Side of the Virtual Hardwood, it's the NLSC Podcast, episode number 348. Andrew with you once again. I am Andrew in the forum and Andrew NLSC on Twitter. My co-host is Derek. You may know him in the forum as Deeper3 and Deeper384 on Twitter.
Happy to be here again. And a special thanks early on here to Art, who submitted a few questions for the mailbag. We appreciated that response, so thank you.
Yes, we put out the call for the mailbag this week. We're going to do that moving forward. I was a day late in putting that out. I didn't mean to do it at your suggestion, Derek, a couple of days before we started recording. I think it was probably closer to 36 hours, but try to get that out a bit earlier next week. But we got three questions. We're going to do two this week and keep one in the bag because they were great questions, Derek. And I'm very grateful to Art for submitting those.
Yeah, engagement is great and everything. I think that the more comments we get is more motivation for us to, you know, continue doing this show every single week. I mean, we'd probably be doing it regardless, but it's really appreciative.
It always is. I mean, any content creator wants to find and build an audience, and we are very, very grateful for the audience that we have cultivated so far, and we would love to see that keep growing and the engagement continue. So by all means, keep letting us know what you think, whether you agree or disagree. You know, we want to keep the conversation going and, of course, bring you the best possible basketball gaming podcast that we possibly can. And yes, we are a week away, or a little bit under a week away, I suppose, now, Derek, from the release of Next Gen, or at least Xbox Series X is coming out first on November 12th.
Yeah, we'll see if I can get a hand on it, get my hands on it, you know, in the first week or two. I have had, you know, quite a few people reach out to me on YouTube and otherwise and ask me, you know, when, you know, are we going to get some gameplay videos early on? You know, for me, that, you know, am I going to be able to upload, et cetera? To those people, it depends on when I can get the system. I know that Target, which there's one right near me, Target had stated that there's going to be a limited stock in store. Best Buy stated that it's going to be online order only. And you can do it like curbside pickup and whatnot. So I'll have to find the best avenue to get the system. But like I told everybody before, and I stand by this, I will be getting it regardless. It's become just a yearly thing for you and I, just to always get it. And that's just been the way it is for me since, you know, for 20 plus years, just always getting the newer game or newer games.
Exactly. I do have a digital copy ready to go, but thanks to getting the Mamba Forever Edition for the PlayStation 4, unfortunately, as far as getting a PlayStation 5, I don't know when I'll be able to get it. I will be getting it at some point, but yeah, you were probably going to beat me to the punch on in that regard, but we will do what we can as far as covering the games moving forward. Obviously, that is where the attention is going to be, although I'm guessing a lot of people are still going to be on current gen.
I think so. I think some of those people on current gen are going to get a little frustrated for the fact that if they didn't pay for the Mamba edition, which was, by the way, $100, that they paid, you know, they paid $60 for 2K21 for PS4, and it's missing a lot of these new modes and features and functionality that is coming out on the PS5. In Series X. So I think you're going to have a couple people that are just a little like upset whether they vocalize it or not.
I mean, I feel a little bit that way. Looking at it, it really does feel even more like a cash grab and just an assumption that, they'll buy anything. And I'm sure we'll cover that as we talk about some of the NBA 2K21 next-gen news this week. But it is unfortunate that the current gen didn't get a little bit more attention.
It is. And I think, too, it's not fair to the PC community. I know that PC is sometimes an afterthought. Because there's not as many gamers on PC, but there was no option to play the Mamba edition, to buy the Mamba edition for PC, because you had to, if you're going to get the Mamba edition for PlayStation 4, then you were going to be able to get a copy for PS5, but there's no next-gen version announced for PC. So there wasn't that option.
Although, oddly, it does seem like we got the Mamba Forever Edition bonuses on PC.
Yeah, we got the attack. Yeah. Oddly enough, but that doesn't mean that, you know, you save that, you know, $20 or so by getting both in packs. So I think that's a little bit frustrating, you know. And for me, I only have it on PC, so I'm going to be having to spend, you know, the $60, $70
or whatnot,
on the PS5 version, or yeah.
and it was actually 150 Australian dollars, the Mother Forever edition. But it works out much much cheaper for me, because looking at the price hike on the next gen for PS5 and Xbox Series X games, they're going to be 109 Australian dollars, up from about 79 for current gen. So yes, that's quite an increase, to say the least. So it's it is what it is. But I will get the PS5 when I can, and we'll see how things go with you as well. But before we get to the news this week and everything else we're going to be talking about, including the mailbag questions, happy anniversary, Derek. We've been doing this show together for a whole year now.
It's wild, huh?
Yeah.
Now, the first show that we did, I had mentioned this on the other, on the last podcast, I took it out in my car, and it was in November, and I remember us agreeing to do that episode together, and I've listened to our first episode together a couple times now. It was just funny because I like reflecting. I like going back and seeing it, listening to it, and then, what were we talking about? And also at the same time, listening to, how have I improved, right?
Or for sure, have we
improved as a team? And I felt like we were pretty good out of the gate. I thought it was a really strong episode. I'm glad that you asked me to come on back then, and I'm glad that we're still doing shows now. So
it's worked out well. And here's to many more shows moving forward, where we continue to gripe like grumpy old men and occasionally enjoy things too. And I think there's a couple of things this week where we will actually be quite positive, looking at especially the My NBA mode with just the new franchise mode. But before we get to that, I just want to very quickly touch on Patch 105, which is out now for the PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One version of NBA 2K21. Fall, or autumn, if you're from Australia as I am, has come to 2K Beach. There's also 80 new faces for NBA, WNBA, and historic NBA players, new statement uniforms in the game, new court for the Nuggets, some updates to Mike Greer, some technical fixes across the board. Season awards have been updated for the 20 season now that it's completed, along with the playoffs. Let's see, anything else that's of note in my team? Just again, some technical issues. Season menu now goes directly to the season agendas instead of the level. Addressed an issue with some members of the crowd during Triple Threat games. Across the viewer screen. Yeah, so just basically some technical fixes across the board. I have heard there's some gameplay changes as well. Nothing really listed there, but yeah, so another patch has come through. I wasn't too surprised to see that. They usually don't keep the October Halloween decorations up beyond too much beyond Halloween, but it's it's four patches in the first couple of months, Derek.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than 2K20, which I think had 8.
Yes, it did.
If I remember correctly. So, I mean, we've cut that in half. I had a feeling there wasn't going to be as much maintenance done to NBA 2K21, because, like I said, I think their main focus has been on next-gen 2K21.
Definitely.
And I think that they already had the bones in place for 2K21 because it is very similar to 2K20, where some of those patched elements that were bothering people on 2K20, they patched already.
Mm.
And that made it into the 2K21 build. So I'm not surprised that there's less patches. I think 2K21 for PC is what it is. I do think that it will live on even after the 2K21 release for next gen. And the biggest reason and the only platform where I really think it will truly live on is PC.
Hmm.
And it's just because there's so many mods, and it's been noted in the community that people aren't super impressed with the graphics, with the graphical improvement of next gen in comparison. You have people like Diabes, I think that's how you pronounce it, making these graphics mods that make the game look unique and new and give it kind of next-gen lighting and stuff like that. And you have all of these, the historical content and all that stuff. I think that there's going to be a lot of people on PC, at least for a year, that are going to stick with 2K20 and 2K21.
It's going to be interesting to see the next-gen sales numbers when it's all said and done, because a lot of it is going to come down to how many people can get their hands on the consoles, and that's a problem that's out of 2K's hands, that is on Sony and Microsoft. So it will be interesting to see just how many people upgrade, how many people are kind of looking at it and thinking, not this year, especially if they've already bought the current gen version and are just going to wait to upgrade to the new consoles. There's always that concern that the launch versions of consoles, the launch model, is going to have problems. We've seen that with some of the previous console generations before. Although I've, knock on wood, my PlayStation 4 is still going 7 years later, almost to the day. So, hopefully that continues. So it will be interesting to see whether those numbers are down a little bit. But of course, it will be a big year across the board, I would imagine, because you've got people who've already got the current gen version, then probably a lot of people double dipping, as you and I will be doing. And of course, I will have three copies of the game: PlayStation 4, 5, and PC. When it's all said and done, there I go again, being part of the problem. But it's. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it does top 10 million all up.
Well, I already said this on a prior episode, and I stand by it. This is going to be easily the most profitable year in NBA 2K history. Yeah, I mean, there's no, for the company, just, the fact that you had the two releases, the fact that still so many people bought that PS4 version, and then the excitement of the next gen, PS5, Xbox Series X version. I think that the momentum for them is still there. And we've talked about this in the past. They do an unbelievable job of just continually pummeling people with marketing about the game. It is absolutely constant. If you walk into GameStop, there's a big cutout of an NBA 2K. It's usually the 2K cover athlete, big NBA 2K. It's like right at the front of GameStop. Stop, excuse me. You're in there and you hear, whether you're looking at the TV or not that they have in the store, it's an ad playing for NBA 2K, right? It's no matter where you go, you see it on the TV, you see it for ads on, you see it on YouTube when you're viewing other videos for different content. You see them pummeling you with it on Twitter. I can't get away from it. EA Sports really needs to take notes on how much that they're pushing that brand on people, because that momentum is sticking and the popularity is sticking. Not only it's a big reason for it that they're the only player in the space, but it's also because, excuse me, of the marketing, which is what I'm talking about. So
Just to throw this out here, a thought that occurred. Do you think they're going to preemptively count Mamba Forever Edition sales among next gen sales? Because technically, anybody who's bought the Mamba Forever Edition has also bought the PS5 or X1 edition as well, the Xbox Series X edition as well.
absolutely,
That
100%
that'll
they'll be
pump up the
down to it.
numbers artificially to begin with, if nothing else.
I mean, how else would they do it? I
I mean,
agree that you have to count it because it's pushing units.
it's a
I
copy
mean, you
that's
have
it, technically it's a copy that's sold, I suppose. So I mean, it's as far as selling that to investors, to stockholders, that they've sold this many units. So technically true, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It definitely still counts as a next gen unit because the player gets the game. So yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And one thing I want to put out there just before we move on to the next gen news and later the mailbag. The NBA 2K21 current gen has been out for 2 months now. It has received four patches, but one thing that does disappoint me, and at the same time doesn't surprise me, is that the daily bonus in my career, where you have to do the daily t every day you have a task to earn bonus VC, it is still bugged, where you're still not getting the VC, or at least there are some tasks that are bugged. I've not been able to get the VC at all. It has not come through. The fact that that's 2 months into the game coming out and it's still bugged really does bug me, pun intended, because as we've said before, they are very quick to patch any exploits where people can get VC very easily and nerf VC and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to fixing issues like this, they drag their feet each and every time, and I think it's just bad form, especially when you look at how they've just overlooked current gen and put it all into next gen. And I know you've got to do that when you're launching a next gen console. You want to come out strong, but seeing the things they could have done on current gen and of just saying, oh, it has to be next gen tech. No, there's a lot of stuff they could have done modes or feature wise with current gen, and they simply didn't. And to
Well, sir,
not even to support
I
it.
mean, yeah, sorry to interrupt you there, but I didn't want to forget this point. I mean, is roster sharing even up yet?
It
I
is,
mean, so the game, it is finally, yeah. So on PC, I know that for the first month, that the game was out even more, maybe first month and a half or something like that.
Yeah, because PC didn't get that patch until later because they, I believe, they found a PC-specific issue and they had to hold that patch back and push through a combined patch, 103,
for PC.
That just
doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense to me, especially because roster sharing worked perfectly in 2K20 and they're using the same structure.
It was a different era with the PC version, but that fix was in that patch, and the patch was held back due to some other issue.
Right. So basically, a couple weeks ago, I checked, and you still couldn't share rosters on PC.
Oh, it's still not working. It's supposed to have been working as of a patch that came out a few weeks ago. Okay, it might still be bugged. Yeah. It might still be bugged.
And maybe it's something with mine or something like that. But the fact that it even took over a month to fix something as important as roster sharing. And I talked about this, and this isn't being a conspiracy theorist. We talked about things that they can intentionally do in the past or put things off to the side. It makes you wonder if any part of that was intentional. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was a real bug, and maybe it did take over a month to fix. But I struggle to believe that, especially because, like I said, it worked so well in NBA 2K20.
Mm.
In 2K19 and 2K18, there was no issue with roster sharing.
You wonder the outsourcing the current gen version, whether that's also made it even more of an afterthought for a start, but also compromised the post-release support as well. But it's definitely very very disappointing, and the fact that the VC updates, the VC bonuses rather, are not coming through, they haven't fixed that. I haven't checked that as of this week because it's kind of gotten to the stage where I don't even try for it anymore because it feels pointless to do so. So I will give it another go, but last check, which was earlier this week, when I tried for it, it just didn't register. It registers as completed, but it doesn't give you the VC. And it's poor. It's poor that they will... If it benefits us, if there's a glitch that benefits us, they'll fix it straight away. And yes, I know they don't want to... There's reasons. I understand them not wanting to allow VC exploits and whatever. But at the same time, fair is fair, and issues where we don't get our VC should be fixed. I just think it's very poor form.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't... Again, it's like you said. If it's something that's hurting their... monetization, if it's something that's hurting their bottom line, it feels like it's an first off, it's fixed immediately. Second off, it's usually a silent fix.
The communication's poor as well.
Yeah, which is really frustrating. Like we talked about, even with like my roster issues, they didn't even replay, by the way, they didn't even fix like 1% of them, the ones that was in the thread. But you know, instead of, you know, coming out and announcing, you know, hey, we need to make these updates or acknowledging
we
my
hear
thread
you
or anything,
yeah.
It ended up being these silent quick updates. So anyway,
it's actually quite the opposite. And then people actually, was it Ronnie came out and said, "Oh, that's not true. These roster issues don't work." And like trying to pretend that they never were an issue after they'd pushed through those silent fixes. There was a tweet.
Exactly.
There was a tweet. Yeah, that's low. You know, at least acknowledge and say, "Hey, you know, we've heard some feedback from the rosters. We're working on it." I mean, that would be something. But yeah, you don't even get that. So it's kind of poor communication, post-release support, online servers, still a problem for 2K. We're going to see how it goes with 2K next gen because we're hearing about a lot of flash, but it's the substance that really matters.
Yeah, I think that we've talked about this. It's about the between the lines gameplay and the fun. And also just being fair to the gamer. I think those are the most important things. And we don't know about any of that yet. Right. So all of this flash and this amazing marketing that they do and all the hype, et cetera, it's what it's going to come down to is when people put their hands on the sticks, are they having more fun with it than they have over the last few years? And does the fun outweigh the frustration? And as far as microtransactions go and whatnot, are they being fair to the gamer? And that's all. And right now, that's all up in the air. And I'm going to say this again. We're one week away from the release, and we only have like 2 minutes of real gameplay.
Yeah,
and that's just frustrating. That's just not fair.
It's what happens when there's market dominance and no competition. We've talked about that on many occasions before. But talking about flash and substance and marketing and everything leads us directly into the first reveal of this week, the developer blog and trailer for The City, which is the replacement for The Neighborhood, an expansion of it. It's the same concept, it's basically an expansion of it. The City, in my career in NBA 2K21 Next Gen, it has a much larger map with The City. There are four boroughs. Each borough has its own park affiliation. Affiliations are back. Each affiliation, again, for each borough of the city, will have its own style. There's going to be mayors of each borough, which are going to be influencers from the community, and they're going to be voted on every 6 weeks or so. So, and they're going to be promoting their boroughs and flying the flag and picking playlists and uniforms and all kinds of things for those influencers. They're going to be making all those decisions as the quote-unquote mayor of the boroughs. There's more stores returning, which where you can spend the VC. Gatorade Gym has been expanded with a second floor where you can rent courts for private games, and you have to carry a ball around so that you can interact with different what they're calling garage hoops, which will have different challenges around the city. Everybody's getting a free skateboard, and you can actually grind on rails, and there's going to be tricks you can do on the bikes and skateboards and actually interact with the environment and so forth. So it's a whole expansion of the neighborhood aspect. And you know, Derek, the skateboard in particular, I'm thinking it's, in a way, it's kind of cool. You can interact with the environment like that and skate around the city. But what a smart move, considering how popular the remake or the reboot of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 was.
Right, you know, they thought of that. I also want to say, what the hell does this have to do with basketball? I just want to point that out. You and I talked about on a couple prior episodes before we got these announcements, and we had said that we didn't think that the neighborhood was going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but I stand by that, because this is basically just it's neighborhood mechanics.
Right? Oh, it is. It's the same. It's a game. It's a hub world. Yeah, the city.
Right, exactly. It's the same thing. And I have to laugh at Ryan Parks, and I love that he showed this and said something about it. It is kind of funny, because you know how women aren't allowed in that mode, right?
Yes.
He showed a picture of they were showing screenshots of the gym, you know, like going in and having your players work out mm-hmm. and everything. Yep. And it's like 70 players in the gym, and it's just all men. It's like, what is this, a men's only gym?
Apparently,
like, what
yeah.
gym have
yeah.
you gone to? That's just and he was like something. You know,
I saw that. Yeah, that was funny.
What
yeah.
kind of fun is? Yeah, what kind of fun is it when there's no women in the gym?
Yeah,
and somebody said something like that. But I thought it was pretty funny. And you know, again, it's another neighborhood type atmosphere. What do skateboards have to do with basketball? You know, the whole interacting with the environment and all that stuff. You know, people brought up some great points about this in some of these threads too. They said, you know, how long is it going to take you to get from point A to point B? How long, you know, is it going to take you to get into games? How long is it going to take you to get these things that you need and all of that stuff? And again, that's all very much up in the air. Like, you're not going to know that stuff until you actually get out there.
I think the fact that there's an emphasis on vehicles is not promising as far as the... And they're talking about how large the map is and where you can all go and all these things you can explore. And, again, the need for vehicles and the emphasis on there being the new bikes and skateboards and things that you can do with it. It suggests that the quickest way to get around is you are going to need a vehicle to get around. And it's... So if you want to quickly jump into gameplay, you're going to have to go through this hub world, much like the neighborhood. It's going to boost up those hours played, isn't it? Which is going to look great on the engagement stats. And that's really what the neighborhood does. That and advertising and pushing ways of spending VC on things that aren't player upgrades.
Right. It's like if you drive into Times Square and you see all the billboards and all that stuff. It's just another way to advertise. Also, I also want to point something out. And you don't have to play this mode. But I think that what they've done with the mode is really pushed basketball into, you know, into an arcade, ridiculous direction. And I think it targets teenagers, and they know that that's their one of their main demographics. I mean, you know, using your skateboard to go to the court. I said this on Angels. She's involved in NBA Live, but she plays a lot of NBA 2K. She posted a video and there's like these two guys there shooting around and playing with backpacks on and stuff, right? And it's stuff that you rarely ever see. You don't, how many times have you seen, you pulled up to a basketball court and people are shooting around and playing hard with backpacks
Yeah.
on?
It's not
How many
really
times do you see,
boiling a tire.
right? How many times do you see people, you know, roll up to the court and on a skateboard?
Mascot
Like, I
costume.
think, right, yeah, exactly. Or like playing mascot costumes. It's really, it's taken the seriousness out of basketball, in my opinion, in a lot of ways, and I think it's turned it into this sideshow, in a way. And I get it. I get why they're doing it. I get the demographic they're targeting, and everything. But in my opinion, sometimes it almost like cheapens the game. If that makes any sense, it cheapens the sport. But you know what? If their modes, if they want to have that in there and people enjoy it, and that's something that people are actually asking for, I didn't see anybody ask for skateboards. I didn't see anybody ask for backpacks either. But if their other modes are strong, and the, you know, the gameplay is strong and all of that stuff, I think that that's cool. That's fine. Like I had mentioned about the WNBA thing, you know, you don't have to play it. I don't have to go on there, and I don't have to play it.
Sure.
You know, so,
The
but I
problem
think
is,
there's a
if you
lot.
do want to play My Career, of course, anyone who does or wants to play the connected modes has to put up with it, I suppose, is the drawback here.
I think that's the
Much
frustration.
like
I
the
think that's
neighborhood,
the
yeah.
right, exactly. Where in the other case, if you don't want to play the WNBA, you can just like not go in there.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't impact the other stuff. But anyway, that's my take on it. I think that it's I don't take back what I said. Like I said, they can rename it all they want, but it's basically just another neighborhood experience,
It is. It's bigger
just
than
in
a
the
neighborhood.
city.
It's a whole city. You know, that's and but it
Right.
is, at the end of the day, the evolved version of the neighborhood, which is fine. I mean, that's call it the city. It makes sense conceptually, at any rate. But you know, I brought up Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, and of course the classic song from that Goldfinger's Superman and the lyrics. So here I am, growing older all the time, looking older all the time, feeling younger in my mind. You know, a mode like this, and the neighborhood for a while now has made me feel this way, but certainly seeing this expansion to the city really does make me feel like I'm being edged out of that demographic. You know, getting older all the time, so to speak, and feeling that this is not for me. But at the same time, I reflected on it, and I said this in the forum actually, that I don't think this really would have appealed to me back in the day as well, or either, rather, because it's not, as you say, it's not basketball. It's not related to the core experience. I can see the appeal, especially because there's now going to be quests and more of an RPG element, and you're at least going to be making more use of this idea of having a game world to explore. So I see it, and look, if people enjoy it, I'm not going to begrudge them that. But at the same time, I have seen comments on Reddit from a younger gamer saying, look, they don't care for it either. I think it definitely does appeal to younger gamers more than people perhaps our age. Not that we're that ancient, but certainly we are getting towards maybe the upper end of the core demographic. If indeed we are still in it, especially with things like this, but it really does kind of pad out the experience. You can see just how they're going to be putting more stores, more flash in there to encourage VC sales and VC spending. What concerns me is that looking at all of this stuff, and there's some cool and creative ideas in there that are going to appeal to people, I'm sure. But what concerns me is you hear nothing about matchmaking in the playground, which is non-existent, or proper matchmaking in the rec, or 2K Pro-Am, all these things. And maybe we'll hear about these in what's going to be a very
Right,
rushed
stuff that
Bonfi blogs.
matters. Right, stuff that matters more than a skateboard and a backpack.
Yeah. Things
Exactly.
that, I mean, even if you want to have more of an arcade style or more of a casual style in My Career and its connected modes, whatever, that is the approach you're going for. But not having key core elements of online gaming, like proper matchmaking, balance, and re things that reduce the toxicity and encourage people to play and not back out of games, and the elitism and toxicity and all that kind of stuff. And I know these are overused words to the point of it almost sounding like buzzwords, but these are things that they really needed to focus on to really enhance the experience and the online experience that's connected to My Career. And we're getting all this stuff. You know, we're grinding rails, which is kind of cool, I guess, but we're not getting the matchmaking, and we're not getting a proper rep system. Ronnie mentioned something about having some new rewards for the high rep, but you look at a lot of the rewards for the my rep system in current gen, they haven't been spread out properly. You've got very basic rewards on a very high tier. You've got things like NBA animations that force you to play online to unlock things for offline play, for single player play.
Well, look,
there's all kinds of concepts that they haven't really thought out, and those are the things that they really needed to enhance the experience and to make it probably to make it a to really take it to the next level and improve on things. It doesn't sound like they've really looked at that. They're just like, what kind of flash can we have? What looks cool in a trailer, rather than what is going to be what's going to look good in a trailer? What's going to generate recurrent revenue with stores and everything? Rather than what is going to be the best online experience and the best gameplay experience, I don't think they've looked at that.
I'll say this again, and this is true. If you really look at it, it's like basketball, and competition is now secondary.
Mm.
That's what it is. The basketball portion has become secondary. The competition aspect of it, the true competition aspect of it, seems to have come secondary, as opposed to the way it used to be, where basketball took the forefront and the NBA took the forefront, and the true skill gap took the forefront. So I think that I agree with you. And I want to point out too, as far as, we talked about the mechanics, the skateboards and all of that stuff. We talked about how the neighborhood has worked over the last couple of years and whatnot. And I see far more negative comments about the neighborhoods, those types of mechanics, where people are, and we've talked about entire threads being created about this. I see far more negative comments saying, we hate how long this takes to get from point A to point B. Why is this necessary? We just want to play ball. Why isn't there proper matchmaking? I see far more negative comments than positive. And I want to point out that, and I'll say this again until I'm blue in the face, listen, people will go on and make positive comments if it works well for them. They're not going to just go on and make negative comments for the hell of it, for the most part. I've said this over and over and over again. Look at the way certain games in the past have been rated. You go online and just go to the Steam reviews if you want to see it. You have a ton of overwhelmingly positive reviews where there's like no thumbs down, very positive reviews for games, all of this stuff. People will talk highly of the way a mode functions and everything if it works well for them. They're not just going online to complain.
Absolutely.
So anyway, that's the point that I wanted to make.
So the other thing they mentioned about my career, and I agree, the city, it is what it is. It was difficult to see that they would ever go away from that concept. We knew it was going to be bigger and theoretically better, but a lot of people, I guess, do enjoy it, and certainly the content creators, the influencers, especially since they get to be a part of it and they get to be promoted through the game, I can see how they're going to be supporting it, and which I guess is their right, and if you like it, you like it. I mean, It's one of those things where I'm not going to talk down to you and say that you're wrong for liking it. It's a shame there's no alternative for people who would like a more streamlined experience, but it is what it is. A couple of things about my career that are worth noting. We don't have a full my career blog yet, but they might be holding some of the information back. But there's going to be new choices in Next Gen My Career. You can go from high school to the G League. You can play college ball for up to 4 years. In my career, and there's also going to be new scenes, characters, and storylines depending which journey we take. So now that is something that, and I've talked about this before, because as much as I've ripped on and ragged on the stories in my career and the problems with that approach, and I stand by that, I'm also fascinated because I do love storytelling and fiction and whatnot and writing, as you can probably tell from the fact that I write so many articles. So stories do fascinate me in that respect, and if something's going to be done, I want to see it done well. And if there are some branching storylines and having some different options about when you come out of college or going to college or going to the G League out of high school, that's actually a good idea for my career. I do actually like the sound of that, and there's going to be some characters coming back, including Be Fresh, which means I get to riff on her a little bit more. It shows moving forward, because that is a terrible character and very annoying and not in a good way that they think that they're doing it. But no, I do actually like that for Next Gen My Career.
It's funny, I think of whenever I see people talk about Be Fresh, I think of somebody like Andy Dick or like for actors or Tom Green, where you think they're just so friggin' annoying, but you almost want to see him come back and do something. You know what I mean? Like you almost want to,
Yeah.
you almost miss them in a really annoying way. And I feel like that's how people feel about that character. Like Troy Den posted a picture of Be Fresh and said, "Oh no, she's back," and you should see the comments about it. Like I feel like people love ribbing on that character, like they did many of like those Andy Dick and Tom Green characters and everything. So I feel like it's kind of similar to that,
It's
where they're just
like a hate sink. Like you love to
laughably
hate
bad.
them. Yeah, I
Yeah,
get that.
exactly. Like they're laughably bad. No, I think that's good. I think when you talk about the 4 years of college and you talk about stuff like that, that's bringing basketball back to the forefront. So, I think that that's really good as long as it's executed appropriately. And I think that's something that people have asked for. I think that the end th them getting more of the NCAA license again has really helped with something like that. But yeah, I think that's good. So.
More options, as you say, it does bring it back to basketball. I'm sure there'll be lots of off-court stuff. Some of it might be, as the kids say, cringe. That didn't feel right to say at all, Derek. But yeah, some of it is going to be cringeworthy. Some of it probably, and there might be some bad writing here and there. But it also might be enjoyably bad here and there, especially if there's going to be some cameos by old characters like a Be Fresh and whatnot. And certainly having those choices of when to come out of college. And that is, as you say, that is something that people have brought up before, the idea that it's the story being very on rails, that you're only going to have this much of a college career, and then you're always going to enter the NBA at this point because that's when the story says. So having some more of an options there, and if it also allows you to grind up your player differently as well, if it gives you different advantages and disadvantages, whether you're going to come out earlier or come out of the NBA earlier, or college rather, earlier or later, things like that. It's all role playing, but it's also very basketball oriented. So no, I'm a fan of that. So hopefully that will turn out quite well.
Yeah, I mean, I think about it this way. I think, if we had that ability, let's say we you had NBA Live, one of your favorite NBA Live games, and it had a mode like that. So let's say NBA Live 05. So let's say or NBA Live 06, for the PC. So let's say that had a mode like that where you could go through college, and you had even a streamlined career mode and all of that stuff. I think you would have loved it. Right, because that's still about basketball.
I mean,
So,
people wanted a career mode for years, and I've had a lot of fun with the career mode and even the connected experiences. But it's definitely, when it's had that story in there, it's become a very homogenized experience where everybody plays through the same story. Like you see people doing a My Career series on YouTube, and look, there's a lot of people doing great stuff with it. But at the same time, everybody's playing through the same story, and you're getting the same cutscenes, but for a couple of superficial choices that you can make. So no, I'm all for having more storyline branching and options like that.
yeah, me too. I mean, I don't play the mode, but as I've stated so many times before, as I really care about other people's experiences with the game, so I can see I can kind of vision what benefits them, what they like and what they dislike, and I can kind of see the commentary around it and everything. So I do care that the mode runs smooth. Same with like my team or and whatnot. I just want people to have a good time with the games.
Definitely, because that is, as we've said before, what it's all about. Enjoying the games, ultimately. As for franchise gaming, that's also something that people might be able to enjoy in 2K21 Next Gen. We have the developer blog about that has come out about MyNBA. It is the replacement for MyLeague, MyLeague Online, and MyGM. It's streamlining those modes into one, combining them into one mode that has suitable customization, so it'll have all the customization and sandbox elements of My League, but it will also have the RPG elements of My GM. However, the RPG elements you can turn on and off, so if you just want the traditional My League experience, you can leave those RPG settings off. You also have a play with friends option, which is the My League on turns it into an online league, a My League Online. You can remove teams, so you can do retro seasons with less than 30 teams, or if you want to do an online league with more streamlined, more condensed, with just a smaller amount of people and a smaller number of teams, you can do that. You can customize league rules, including the 8-second violation, backcourt violation, playoff format, lottery, all-star goaltending. You can change all kinds of rules. You can put in a sudden death overtime if you want. You can use the custom rosters, realign teams, rebrand them as before, and as I said, remove teams so you can have less than 30, down to 12. So you kind of just have a four-team league, which would be kind of boring. You can also customize the salary cap. There's more CBA rules. The RPG elements, as I said, that they are basically as the blog says, could be the My GM options, but they're calling it the role-playing elements, which is conversations, skills, tasks, where you look at morale and chemistry, etc. There's also budgeting and finances. The play with friends option is play online. You can automate the off season. The start from option is back. There's not going to be start from today until the NBA season starts again, which looks like it's going to be in December 22nd, based on the recent meeting with the players. G League games are going to be playable. They've also got online leaderboards left over from MyGM. The playable G League games. They've revamped the boom bust system, which is something they mentioned before. You can also hire an additional assistant coach. You can share all the league setups and have 2K share scenarios, which is something we have been able to do on current gen, but that's going to be there on next gen as well. And tattoos are back as after being absent for most or all of last generation, they've figured that out, and so generated players will be able to have tattoos assigned to them again. There's a slide nav, which is very similar to the menus of around about 2K12, 2K13 era, has been brought back so that you can easily get through all the sub menus in My NBA. And let's see, yeah, there's some other things in the blog, but it sounds like they've brought back a couple of features. They've streamlined it, Derek. I actually like the sound of it.
I love it. I love all of it. I'll be honest with you. I don't see any. I don't have any complaints about any of this. In fact, that gets me kind of excited, especially for like retro roster making, like you talked about. You know, bringing it down to 12 teams. Hell, you could have an ABA roster created,
Absolutely, yeah.
like an ABA league. I think one of the biggest question marks is can you have a team, and we'll find out that doesn't require that 14 player requirement. And I
They
think that's
didn't
a
mention
big
that,
deal,
no.
right? Because I think that's a really big deal for the fact for these retro roster makers. Because for one thing, 14 players wasn't always the requirement, and number two, if you're limited in faces and you want to be able to put an accurate classic team out there with say 9, 10, 11 guys, the ability to do so would encourage people to make even more rosters and more teams and invest more time in the mode. I think it all sounds fantastic. I love the idea of making online play, online My League seamless. I think one of my problems with My League in the past is if you did like an online My League, it didn't have the same structure as a regular My League. In fact, it was missing some of the award races and stuff like that, that you would normally get in a traditional My League. I think that the tattoo thing, I believe we've had tattoos in basketball games before. I can't remember which game had it, but I believe we had, you know, generic tattoos that you could assign to certain players. I think that that's important. As I told you offline when we were discussing this, I think the game changer with tattoos, and I think everybody in the community in the world would agree with me who plays NBA 2K, is if you can upload your own, especially because we're in 2020 right now. Being able to upload your own tattoo design, much like you can logos, and be able to attach it to the player.
Yeah, it doesn't mention it specifically, so I'm not anticipating it. But yeah, that would be that definitely be something that if not this year, they should have moving forward.
Right, because if let's say they have 20 tattoo options, how many players are you going to have with a snake tattoo?
Yeah,
How many players
yeah.
can you possibly give the same tattoo? So, I think that's something that. Again, it's something that they can add in the future, and I believe, like I told you, there's a million different things they can still do with basketball video games,
Definitely,
and
and
you're seeing,
the sharing as
yeah,
well, like the rosters,
right.
but also the league settings is what's really going to help, because that I mean
Right,
we can
being able
share,
to change,
yeah.
yeah, the league settings, being able to change the rules, being able to do a 27 team season, you know, before the Raptors and Grizzlies were. Or doing a 24-game season before, you know, Orlando Magic and Minnesota Timberwolves and the Miami Heat came aboard. All of that stuff is super exciting. And the fact that you don't have to sim games to get past teams that don't need to be there, right? So,
Exactly,
like
yeah.
you said, have a schedule centered around 24 teams and 27 teams and 30 teams. So, I think, and remember, I had brought this up before, I do, and I'm not saying they listen to me, but I do think that they're making a lot of good moves as far as customization goes. So I really like this idea, and I think people are going to love it. So
I think the only problems are going to be some of those legacy issues with trade logic or simulated stats, and of course there are those options currently on current gen where you can change some of those tendencies and whatnot with the sim engine, and I imagine they'll be ported across as well in the new MyNBA. So we'll see what we can fix ourselves. Some of it needs to be patched or adjusted moving forward and fine tuned. But no, I think franchise is going to continue to be one of the deepest, if not the deepest and best franchise modes in any sports game, certainly any basketball game we've ever had, easily. It's already that. 2K has already been the... although Live was the first to have the franchise mode in Live 2000, and 2K then introduced it the following year with Association, I believe, or certainly what became Association. 2K's franchise gaming, its mode, whether it's been My League, My GM, the Association, whatever, has been the gold standard for over a decade now, and looks like it's going to continue.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, and you've looked at, you know, our feedback over the years, one thing I always complimented them on was that My League depth, right? The depth of the game. Some of it, like, obviously we've talked about the roster issues. It's not executed well. It's rushed, all of that stuff. But as far as, like, My League goes, as far as, hey, you can create your own jerseys. Hey, you can put in your own court. Hey, you can rename your team. Hey, you can relocate your team. Hey, you can do, you know, all of this roster movement. Hey, the salary cap matters. All of this stuff, you can turn it on or off. You know, the customization options before going into My League. Hey, now you can add 36 teams to go into a My League as opposed to 30, which they introduced in 2K17. You can, you know, add your custom teams in there. Just there's the amount of... customization options, the amount of options you have to customize your experience has always been a strong suit. They're the best in sports gaming for depth.
I want to give credit where it's due to the franchise team here, which includes Leftos, our good friend Leftos, who was an NLSC team member for a few years, of course, before joining the team at Visual Concepts there. And Leftos was always into franchise gaming, so that's one of the things that they really liked about him, of course, his adept at programming and made those wonderful tools as well. But Leftos had all those visions about franchise gaming. It's one of the reasons they brought him on board and were very excited to have him. And, you know, people say, well, what could he do? You know, was it worth him being poached from the community, and which I think is always a bit disrespectful. I mean, if anyone from the community has an opportunity to actually work in the industry and has gets that opportunity and has that passion and drive, I don't think we should hold that against the company for taking them or them for taking that opportunity. I think we should congratulate them and support our former people who come from the community and go from the community to the gaming. And it just goes to show what he and the other members of the franchise team have done with 2K, because it isn't the focus anymore. The focus is on online and the connected experiences in my career and my team, you know, the card collecting mode. Franchise gaming, although it is still quite popular and a lot of people do love it, it's not looked at as the flagship mode like it was 15, 20 years ago when it was first being introduced. And yet they have still continued to push the envelope. I'm not saying they get everything right with all the details all the time. There is still room for improvement, but they are adding all these extra things, like you said, the team, the expansion, the relocation, the rebranding, all the different sliders that they added a couple of years ago where we could adjust all the internal workings of the sim engine, all that good stuff, that wonderful stuff, indeed. They have not rested on their laurels. They know there is more that they can do, and they are pushing the envelope, even if it's no longer the flagship mode. And we do have to give credit where it's due there.
Yeah, you know, Vlad, Jasmine, John, and Leftos, let's be honest. The people that complain about that, if 2K approached them, they the first thing they would do is say yes.
Yeah.
If the people that complain about it, if 2K reached out to them and said, hey, you know what? Hey, we're working on NBA 2K21 for next gen, and we would love to have you as part of the decision-making process or the programming process or anything like that, or hey, we want you to make faces for the game. Not only would they jump on that opportunity, like 100% of the time, but they would gloat about it, right?
Oh,
they'd
yeah.
be on they'd be saying, hey, you know what, I got picked up by 2K and blah blah blah. So I think there is a little bit of a jealousy aspect to it in a way, in some cases. And at the same time, I think that people need to look at, and I know Sticky Fingers loves when I say this, because I say it all the time. Sorry, I'm saying that sarcastically, but the people need to look at the big picture and say, hey, you know what, in their shoes, you know, if I was in their shoes, what would I do if 2K approached? And if I thought, if you remember correctly, Leftos too, I remember on an Operation Sports thread where, you know, he had issues with the franchise mode as it was, and he talked about it. And he may have even mentioned it on the podcast with you guys or something like that with at one time he was on. And you know what? When they approached him, he probably was like, you know what? I've complained about some of these things in the past. I can probably work for the company and maybe I can make a change. And maybe that change and maybe those changes that I make are going to make everybody enjoy the experience a little bit more, right?
Absolutely.
So I think you have to look at it that way. And we've also talked about this. You know, a lot of people that complain about NBA 2K, and myself included, over the last few years because of some of the decisions they've made, have had great fun and made tons of memories with their games in the past, 2K17 and prior, or, you know, some people with 2K11, some people going back, you know, all the way back to like 2K6, 2K5, all of that stuff. So it's not, these people are not like lifetime haters or lifetime, you know, they don't have lifetime disappointment with NBA 2K. There was once a time when they were really enjoying the series. So if people, you know, if people get asked to come on board and they think they can make positive changes to maybe even bring it back to its glory or help the series at all, you know, why wouldn't they say yes? So, absolutely.
And, you know, tying into that, there's a lot of conspiracy theories about 2K hiring these people from the community to shut down modding, which, first of all, modding has continued because no one is irreplaceable. We still have talented people come along that have made tools, that have made great mods. And the other thing is that if 2K wanted to shut down modding, they could do that very easily from a legal standpoint. That they wouldn't need to hire people and pay all that money to hire people and continue to pay their salaries to shut down modding, which and it obviously doesn't anyway because modding continues. So that's just paranoid for a start. But I think that's also very disrespectful to the people who have taken jobs at 2K and EA in the past, because that's saying that they're buying into it or they're selling out. You're basically saying that these people that we appreciate from the community and that have made the jump from the community to actually working in the industry, it's basically calling them sellouts. And I think that's very disrespectful to our friends and fellow community members to basically unintentionally perhaps make that accusation. I think it's silly to suggest that. And like you say, you have the opportunity to work in the industry and to work on the games that you love and to make them better. And we've actually seen what has been able to be accomplished with Leftos and the rest of the franchise crew. You know, and Razer, of course, making those wonderful faces that we see coming through in the game now. This is a good thing. You know, it's kind of a shame to lose them from the community, obviously, because they can't be involved in the way they used to be. But they're also able to have a direct impact on the game, and that's special too. So I think it's disrespectful to suggest they're part of a conspiracy.
2K is grabbing talent, and you would do the same thing.
Yeah.
I was making a basketball game, and I was involved in the NLSC. I would be reaching out to Louya in a second. L-O-O-Y-H or whatever, the guy who makes the tools.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be reaching out to him and I'd be saying, hey, you know what, with your programming knowledge, you know, maybe there's a way you can help us with our game. That's not me trying to pluck him away from the NLSC. That's because I want to have him help me make a great game.
Yeah.
People also need to realize, and same with Cyberface Makers, like I would have grabbed up Razer too. And people who are passionate.
Yeah.
Like Swajoda, you know, I want to point something out too. Is people like to quantify this as like somebody works for 2K, they're involved in every aspect of 2K. That's not the case. You know, Zhao Smings when working with 2K TV. You know, we have Leftos, which is working on franchise and possibly some other programming aspects of it. You have Razer, who's making cyber faces. You know, you have Vlad, who's doing some programming for them at some point. You know, these people are very specialized in what they do for NBA 2K. And they're also probably idea people as well. So, you know, chalking it up to them being sellouts or them being part of the entire makeup of the game is, again, and I'll say it, you know, they're not seeing, those people are not seeing the big picture. And like you said, they could have shut modding down already. Easily. You know, with all the videos that are coming up with Charles Barkley and Reggie Miller, all the videos that get, you know, hundreds of thousands of views, et cetera, you know, Dom 2K's videos, et cetera. If anything, they've embraced modding.
And as much as they can publicly,
you know, they wouldn't allow those articles to come out for Forbes for, you know, promoting Shuajoda and Arteezy's work or before that promoting Razor's work on Kobe Bryant's. And even in those articles at times saying that, hey, they even do a better job than 2K at times on those faces. 2K wouldn't let that stuff out.
All it takes is a cease and desist to shut down the modding community, quite frankly.
Really, it does.
Because we operate in a gray area. And some might say it's not even gray. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And we would have to be. Exactly. So they could. And if anything, I think what they've realized is that they can take inspiration from the modding community. And they can also pluck some of the best talent in the industry out of that community. So, yeah, I think that's kind of ridiculous for people to do that. And I don't hold anything against Zhao Ming, Vlad, Leftos, or Razor, or anybody else that goes and works for them.
And anyone in the future, you know, we should say, yeah, good luck, you know, hit a home run. Make a bucket, you know, whatever metaphor you want, you know, do a great job and represent the community, because I do believe they do that to the best of their ability. Just because people get hired from the community doesn't mean that all of our ideas are guaranteed to get in there. They still have to answer to the suits. They still have to go with the roadmap that's been designed, that's been laid out for them. But it has ultimately been beneficial, and we see that with franchise right here with MyNBA. I think that's going to be a great mode. But at the same time, as we wrap up that on the NBA 2K21 news, coming back to something that we talked about at the top of the show, it is a shame that we don't have some of this stuff in current gen, that we didn't get a little bit more of these next gen features in the last couple of years of current gen, at least, because a couple of these probably could have been introduced 2K19, 20, and to be there to prepare us for next gen. And I don't think it comes down to next gen, or maybe the storage space, I suppose, or the medium, or the loading times, whatever. But it is a shame that current gen has kind of been marking time for the last couple of years, and that it has, a lot of people have felt that 2K21 is 2K20.5 or 2K19.3, or you know, there's a lot of things. And it sounds cynical and snarky, but at the same time, I understand where people are coming from when they say that. It does feel like we have stalled a little bit, and the game has repeated itself a couple of times over the past few years, and of course the motion system that came in 2K18 was a bit of a flop. I think you and I would both agree on that. So it is unfortunate in that respect, and it does feel like current gen has been, as a full price release, a disappointment. But there's great stuff looming for next gen, it seems, great stuff looming, but at the same time, you can't help but feel a bit, or more than a bit, disappointed for what's happened with current gen.
Well, you'll still have some of that disappointment, too, if they jump on the floor in next-gen and it feels almost identical to 2K21 PC.
Not true.
PS4,
Xbox One. True.
So I think that's all still up in the air. And I think one thing that, you know, we've talked a lot of positive about what NBA 2K has done with the next-gen version on this podcast, so I do want to bring it back to how disappointing it is that not only didn't we, you know, we didn't get a demo, obviously, because the new systems aren't out, and that's something they couldn't control. But, you know, in the absence of a demo, we should have seen more gameplay. I will constantly mention that it is absolutely ridiculous that we're a week away from this being released, and we have only seen about 2 minutes of true gameplay. That gameplay that we saw was also somewhat uninspiring. So we'll see what happens. I think what they're doing, and it's a business move. It's the suits. It's a business move. They're getting as many pre-orders as possible.
And pre-orders before we've seen everything, before we've heard everything, read everything about gameplay and modes. I mean, they still have to talk about my team, whether there's going to be much in the way of new content or in my team. I mean, the fact that they're supposedly we're going to be able to transfer our progress from current gen to next gen, I mean, that's what's being advertised. How smoothly it's going to go, we shall see. You know, with 2K and online components, it's always a bit of a dice roll, so we shall see. but I'm thinking that there may not be too much in the way of new content in my team or new modes because of the way it's integrated with last gen, with current gen. And of course, we might hear a bit more about the My Career story, but it's going to be a bit of a rush of those last couple of blogs before the game comes out. In fact, the game might be out before we get those last few developer blogs. We've seen that in the past, and it is a byproduct of the abbreviated, rushed preview season. And preview seasons just don't feel like they'd used to. And again, this is old. This is more old man griping, feeling older all the time, getting older all the time. To bring it back to the Goldfinger song. But it is a
Did
shame
it?
that the pre-orders go out so far beyond, so far before actually stuff about the game.
Did it say anywhere in the blog, because I don't remember it, that you can save your created My League? Now let me make a point about this. So let's say I make an ABA mod, right? So let's say I do a mod with like 12 teams, and I make the courts in the court creator. I make the jerseys. I have all the players in there. Because obviously most of them would have to be created players. Let's say I put that together. Can I share my league? As in, can I say, hey, here's a my league that I created for you that has all the courts made, and you can download my league and make it part of your saves? Because if you can't do that, that can also be a huge part of the future of
We're
gaming.
supposed to be able to do that on current gen, but from what I've read in the blog, that would be possible in next gen, or certainly most of it would be. You can share the league setup and the settings and the rosters and anything else you've customized for it, from what I can see. You can sh
Right,
you,
but
you
then
can you, you
even
can up
after
you
the
can upload it.
creating courts, yeah, even after the creation though of courts and everything, and what I mean is, you know,
Yeah,
obviously.
that I'm not sure about it. It doesn't say specifically that, I don't believe. I'd have to double check. I don't think it's confirmed that, but it did. You can share the saves. Let me just double check really quickly.
I just think it would be a huge deal. Like, that would encourage so many people to go on there and say, hey, download my 05, 06 roster with all my courts created. Go download my 88 roster with all my courts and jerseys created, etc. And Scott O'Gallagher, if you're listening, I hope you are. If you're listening, think about that, as far as like an option.
Okay, it says all it takes is for one member of the community to set up the league rules, teams, rosters, etc., to put together the best possible representation of some classic past seasons, whether it be the early years of the Magic versus Bird era or some year in Jordan's dominant Bulls reign. And if they share it here, then the rest of the community can relive these past seasons with tuning and rules to closely represent the era. So they don't specifically mention art customization as well, but they are talking about setting up the league, so possibly, maybe.
We'll have to see. I think it sounds cool. I'm going to dive into that and see how that works. But yeah, that's definitely something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. So yeah, we'll
And
see.
if not, that as you say, would be something to include in future years.
No, absolutely. I think it'd be a great feature. We haven't even gotten close to exhausting all the options that we can add
Not at all.
and functionality customizations. So.
So we will see as the news comes in. Of course, by the time the news rolls in next week, we may also have the game will be out, at least on Xbox Series X and S. We will see as what we can do as far as covering that for getting the consoles ourselves, as we said earlier on in the show. But we now come to the mailbag segment. This is the segment that we're looking to bring back here on the NLSC podcast. We put out the call for questions and topic suggestions a couple of days ago before we started recording this. Once again, thanks to Art MacDaddyBones on Twitter for submitting these questions. And actually, Art submitted three, as we said at the top of the show, Derek. We're going to do two this week and hold back the questions because they were all great questions. Hold back the third one for possibly next week. And of course, we encourage people to send in their suggestions and questions moving forward. We'll keep putting out those calls each and every week. But the first question this week, Derek, and it's kind of pertinent to what we've been talking about a little bit on this show, especially with EA. And 2K having that brand awareness and that market share and everything. But the first question is, with no mention of NBA Live again at EA's investor call, do you think it's finally done? What's your take on that?
No, I think they're coming out with Live 22. I do. I think they're going to come out with Live 22. I think the moves that they made bringing on Scott O'Gallagher and Rob Jones isn't by accident. I don't think that they brought him on to work on NBA Live Mobile. Scott O'Gallagher is a basketball guy. He had a pro career. He's been involved in NBA 2K since NBA 2K15. There's absolutely no way they brought him on for ideas for NBA Live Mobile or anything like that. In my opinion, he's going to be a creative director for NBA Live, for this next gen. And I believe that they've had the bones in place, and in my opinion, they've had it in the works, to come out with a bang. And I think that that's the reason why we didn't get NBA Live 21 is because they needed another year of development. I also think it's incredibly underrated and not talked about enough, Rob Jones coming back. What people need to realize is that Rob Jones has been working with 2K for a very long time, but he was involved with Madden, I believe, from 1995 to 1999, working for EA Sports. So bringing back these two guys is a really big deal. And the fact that the advertisements for jobs for, for, community managers and whatnot wasn't for NBA Live Mobile. It was for NBA Live. It didn't say NBA Live Mobile anywhere on those. And those posts were right around the time, excuse me, when they brought on Scott O'Gallagher. And I sent you, if you remember correctly, the post and the screenshot
That's right, yeah.
for the job posting for EA Sports Community Manager for NBA Live. So to answer your question, I don't think that NBA Live is done. I think that once again, they're doing a poor job communicating, or they're just being silent to see what NBA 2K21 does, how it comes out, how it's received, all of that stuff. And they're probably going to make, in my opinion, they'll make their announcement at some point in 2022. But I am curious to see what you think. I think you're probably along the same lines as I am, that they're not going to waste the opportunity to try to make another comeback. So.
Absolutely. I'm definitely thinking along the same lines as you on that one. As you say, it would seem very strange to bring in such prominent names from the NBA 2K team and have them work on NBA Live Mobile or a completely different or like Madden or something else, NHL or another title in the EA Sports line after bringing in basketball guys like that. And again, as you say, wasting them on NBA Live Mobile. It'd be strange. It does sound like they're investing in the future of NBA Live. The fact that they aren't mentioning it at the investors call is not surprising given their history. It's disappointing because we do want to get some confirmation about the game. We want to hear that they're at least that something's cooking, basically. But at the same time, I don't think they're going to tip their hand. Like you said, I think they're going to wait till to see what NBA 2K21 does on the ne on next gen. They're going to keep building this team. They're going to keep working on the tech, whatever tech they've got. They've got a couple of studios now. Both the EA Tiburon, and they've also got EA Madrid helping out with NBA Live as well. It is frustrating because, as we've said before, the silence is deafening. It doesn't help with the brand awareness or anything like that for them to be so quiet, whether it's on social media or an investor's call or whatever. But it's not too surprising they haven't mentioned anything, and although it's frustrating, I don't think we should take it as a sign that NBA Live is finally done. Just yet. I mean, maybe that is just us being optimistic, but at the same time, it makes sense that they've brought on Scott and Rob, and it seems like too big of a move to make and to then just quietly do away with Live after bringing them on. No, I don't think NBA Live is done. I do think they need to start at least getting people's eyes back on the brand and getting the brand awareness back up there and getting people excited about the fact there could be another basketball game and a sim game again, and with the right approach, especially with Scott as the creative director. I think that is, and knowing how much he loves sim and loves basketball, and as you say, as a former player, it seems like he would have the right direction as a creative director. So I don't think it's done, but I do think we need to hear a bit more about it.
Yeah, Art, you don't bring on somebody who had a basketball pro career and is obsessed with basketball gaming, plucked right from the NBA 2K community, who has been, as we had talked about, playing basketball video games since, the original Dreamcast NBA 2K. He's my age, by the way. Scott O'Gallagher is about like my age. He's around our age, so like 35. You don't make that move and at the same time simultaneously bring on Rob Jones if you're not planning something. So as big as mobile is, I think they understand that they need to get back into the console space. And again, they still only have one competitor. So to answer your question, I absolutely don't think that NBA Live is dead or finished or anything like that. I think you're going to see an incredibly strong push, judging by the recent moves that they've made, to bring out either NBA Live 22, which is what I think is going to happen, or NBA Live 23. So,
and it's something that we want to see, as we've said before. We you and I are both very big on the idea of there being competition and choices to push each other to greater heights and to give gamers something to choose from. Or if you want to get both and alternate between different experiences that the two of them offer, although some of them, some of those experiences should have something, a fair amount in common if you're both going for that sim style. There should be some overlap, but also some things, some different hooks that each game has and a different experience, whether it's in the career modes or whatever. We want to see that happen in the space.
Oh, 100%. And people deserve it. I do believe they deserve options. I've used this example before. We only have one cable option in my area, and I wish I had others. But, you know, as far as, like, you know, for my internet and my my TV and all that stuff, it's super expensive, and it's unfair in some ways and all of that stuff to the consumer. We wish we definitely had different options. So even if something like, hey, my cable TV, or hey, my provider for cable, all of that stuff, I wish I had other options. I think options are important. And it's just like in games, options are important. We talked about the ability to set your own rules and customization, and even something as simple as having, you know, camera relative and absolute controls, right? Giving gamers the option to play the way that they want. So I think options are good in general, but we definitely deserve another option in the basketball gaming space. As we talked about in the early 2000s and the late 90s, we had like five, six, even sometimes even up to seven options. So yeah, I think it's deserved.
And one only needs to look at how much frustration there is in the Madden community about having that lack of choice. I mean, there's frustration in our community as well, but I feel like there's even more frustration because of the fact that there can't be another sim NFL game because of that the deal that EA has with the NFL, that at least there is the option, the possibility for having those choices in the basketball gaming space. And we've had NBA Playgrounds, so we've had the arcade titles come through, but if we can get that another sim game, have those more options. And of course, I'd love to see other sim games come back, other arcade games come back, I should say, like Jam, like Street, but certainly having those another option in the sim space, where we have so many expectations and desires as to the sim experience, I think is so important. So fingers crossed that there is good news on the horizon, but yeah, I don't think that NBA Live is done just yet.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing that the NBA license has been free for other people to grab, right? Other companies to grab, and that we haven't had more people come into that space. I talked about this before. It's kind of a shame that 989 Sports, which turned into, PlayStation, just like, there was a
Sony. Is it SCE, Sony Computer Entertainment, something
like that? Sony, yeah.
So Sony Studios, yeah.
That's what I meant, Sony Studios. It's sad that they bowed out after NBA 09. Because I think that they gave people a different experience, and a lot of people like that My Life mode, like the NBA Life mode or whatever that they had.
A lot of that is what 2K is taking with My Career. So
right, exactly, right. So, and even people really enjoyed the NBA Shootout games in the early 2000s, which was made by 989 Sports, which turned into like NBA 06, 07, 08, 09.
In the Zone, Inside Drive, yeah, there's a lot of competition.
Yeah, In the Zone was Konami. Inside Drive was Microsoft. There was just so many players in the space. So.
Also, I want to give one more mention this week to NBA All-Star Challenge. Shout out to Dr. Funk for the question last week about the 8-bit and 16-bit games. We did talk about did mention that quite often, the NBA All-Star Challenge, but that is quite an interesting game, as we talked about last week. You can go back and listen to that in episode 347. But a final question this week, as we said, we'll keep one of the questions back for next week, and we do encourage you to keep sending in the questions. If we do get a backlog, we will get to them eventually. Great to see these wonderful questions being sent in. I'm actually going to leave the one of the questions is has 2K left room for improvement for next gen compared to this gen? I'd like to leave that till next week, Derek, because we're probably going to hear a bit more about next gen this week, and it'll give us more of an idea of what's going into 2K21 next gen. and then perhaps that'll give us more of a, and we'll be able to answer that question perhaps a bit clearer next week. So I'm going to go with the question number two, actually, which is, does 2K need a community manager for the art side of the game, for example, players, faces, and accessories? I've got a lot of thoughts on what 2K should be doing as far as community managers, but first of all, the question as it is, Derek, what do you think?
I love it. I love the idea. One of the most popular forums on Operation Sports, if you're on there, Art, I'm not sure if you are, one of the most popular forums, the one that gets the most activity, is the NBA 2K Art Forum. There's like, an art thread where people can talk about the art in the game and what they think should be done with it and all of that stuff. And I do think that they have an entire art team that is very possibly completely disconnected from the gameplay aspect. It would be cool to have and beneficial to have somebody in the community on Twitter, on social media, on Reddit, on Operation Sports. Hey, on the NLSC, why not? We don't just mod on the NLSC. And modding has to do with art as well. But it would be really, really helpful for the community to have somebody who handles the art in the game and who can discuss different art choices that they made or say, hey, we can look at this in the future and stuff like that. I think the problem is that NBA 2K doesn't want that many people out there, right? They want a select number, a select few number. They want Dazar, Chris Manning, Baluba, and whatnot. They want them out in the community, and they don't want an overabundance of people. So I think that's the biggest reason for that. And I also think that it welcomes a lot of criticism, right? You know, people, what happens is how is that art person going to respond to somebody who posts a screenshot of a recycled face, right? Or a Jimmy Butler that's been in the game, the same Jimmy Butler that's been in the game for 3 or 4 years, or a Jamal Crawford looking like an alien, right? So when somebody posts, screenshots of different things, or hey, why is this jersey textured the way it is, and they show a close-up and it's not good, or why is the crowd dark in our games when it's not like this, and they do a side-by-side of real life and then in the game, how is that art person going to appropriately respond to that stuff? So I think that's another part of it, is the art stuff is pretty black and white. Recycled faces are pretty black and white and stuff like that. And how do you integrate somebody as, an art social media person that's going to be able to respond to those without causing an uproar, right? So I think there's a lot of variables with that. I do think it would be cool. I do think it would be helpful. But I think there's a reason why that person doesn't exist in the community.
I think there needs to be at least one or two community managers for 2K at the moment, because they don't actually have one, because LD2K, Chris Manning, is now the co-host of 2K TV. He's kind of been doing some old community manager stuff, because he obviously does have that rapport with the community and people and is recognizable as that former CM, but it's not actually his job. And any time that he spends doing that is time that he can't spend on his actual job, and his actual job is going to take time away from what he can do with that. So that's not feasible. Ronnie2K is no longer a CM. He is a digital marketer. He's been very open about that. He is more about being a hype man and being somebody who brings in celebrities and liaises with players and promotes the game, hypes the game. I also feel that he's gotten to a point perhaps where he doesn't really have the patience or perhaps personality to really deal with gamers these days. A lot of his interactions with gamers when he has kind of filled that CM role have been disappointing, to say the least. And of course he gets a lot of flack, as does LD2K and the developers, but at the same time a lot of his responses have left a lot to be desired. Let's leave it at that. The developers, I think there's value in having that direct line to at least a few of the developers that are active on social media. At the same time, again, you have the toxicity that you understand that they want to distance themselves from. Also, they are busy working on the game, so they can't always be taking that soliciting the feedback and interacting with fans and giving us updates on things, that again takes away from their main job, which is to develop and design, program the game. But I do think it's worth, if they are willing and able to be a bit active on social media, to have that direct line, and they can give us some direct answers about why certain things are done this way. We've seen how that's helped with Mike Wong, Baluba. Even like you gave him feedback about the camera, for example. You know, and that was very useful to have that direct line of communication to him for that.
Yeah, I think one of the things is that people do need to continue to give feedback, because I do think they're listening. You know, we talked about people talking about limitations with My League back in like 2016, as far as wanting more options, as far as being able to put more teams in and customize it more. And look what we ended up getting in NBA 2K17, right?
Yeah.
We got the ability to do 36 teams. You know, I went there with my camera feedback about how the broadcast cam was basically absent from 2K18. And Mike Wang responded to that thread and said he agreed, and that he'll bring back the 2K17 broadcast parameters for 2K19. And boom, look what we got.
Yeah.
I think that you need to continue, right? People need to continue giving that feedback. And even if there's only a 1% chance that you get responded to, there's still a chance. And there's a chance that it could be implemented. So I definitely don't discourage that. I agree with you about Dazar and Chris Manning and whatnot, but I do look at them as community managers. I don't care if they don't have the title. They're out there. They're out there on social media.
They are liaising with us, yeah.
Yeah, they are. You can call them whatever you want, but they're in the community, and they're managing content. I really do believe that. And I also believe that they're also managing, you know, Chris Manning may not have the title and everything, but he's still responding to stuff about certain gameplay aspects, right?
Sure.
And certain functionality and all of that stuff. So while I don't have the title, I look at them as that. And I think that NBA Live needs people like that. And maybe they think they're getting that through the Game Changer program. I have my reservations about that program as well. Maybe I don't know enough about it, but I've been watching videos on it, and it's really hit or miss the way they conduct it and the people they choose for it. And I've been pretty vocal about that in the past. But I think that they need to also look outside of the Game Changer program and get more prominent faces, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
They need to get more prominent faces promoting the content and also being fed some of that content. Saying, hey, this is what you need. This is what you should be talking about. Not saying that they need to, like, talk about whatever EA wants them to, but you know how, like, NBA, like, you had people, what was his name, from Operation Sports, he was fed gameplay to be shown. They need people that, during this preview season, are allowed to talk about what's coming, you know, have gameplay to show off, you know, be able to answer questions for people. All of that stuff. And they need to have just more of those more prominent faces. When I look at EA Game Changers and I look at the way they conduct themselves, and you can agree with this, they're not purely NBA Live. What they're doing is they're talking about other games as well and other EA Sports titles and everything. I think what they need to do is they need to have a couple community managers out there that are strictly NBA Live, that people associate with NBA Live, and that are going to talk and answer to people about that game specifically. So, yeah, I agree. But I wouldn't say that they're not community managers, because to be completely honest with you, those people that are out there, whether it be the Ronnie 2Ks, for better or for worse, the Dazars, the Chris Mannings, all of that stuff, those guys are kind of doing that. Even a guy like Troyden, who is constantly doing 2K stuff, and he's talking about the games, and he's constantly putting videos out there about the game. In a way, he's a community manager. He's a brand manager.
Like a de facto kind of, yeah. And that's how the others have as well. LD2Ks, Dazar, they have become de facto community managers with the way they liaise with the community, obviously. I do think that's, again, I think that's something that needs to continue, because there's advantages to them doing that. At the same time, I think 2K would benefit from having a dedicated community manager that can filter some of the toxicity, to be that port, that one port of call, that okay, we send our feedback to this person, he's going to pass along to the developers, And he's going to be the one that's going to deliver information and answer some questions that maybe the developers can't. He's going to have that authority to deliver certain information. If you need to have a couple of them to do it, I say he, she, whoever. If you're going to have a CM, have a couple of CMs that they can, if you need to handle a couple of different situations, maybe if you have one for online, one for offline, or one that's delivering information, one that is soliciting feedback. I think there is a benefit to having a couple of those people on 2K, a dedicated, definite CM or two to handle that situation, in addition to being able to liaise with the developers. I think there is an advantage to having that dedicated CM. And I agree, NBA Live needs to do the exact same thing, and there also needs to be no shutting out of people who aren't big names. The CM should be interacting with everybody, OS, NLSC, obviously, we'd love that. People just on Twitter, just your average gamer on Twitter and on Reddit, the CMs should be engaging with everyone, not just the influencers who they want to help promote the game, but people from that core demographic, the people who are buying the games and passionate about the games, engaging with everyone. And I think that's where you can really benefit from having a couple of dedicated community managers to do that. So I think Live should do it. I think 2K should do it. There should be at least one, but if you can split the duties between different things, like soliciting different feedback about different areas, if they need a couple of people to do that, then so be it. But I think there needs to be at least one dedicated CM that can be the dedicated port of call for the community. And that doesn't mean that there's no interaction with anybody else, but they can perhaps sometimes filter things so the developers don't have to take it all on, and so that they can focus on their other duties with developing the game or whatever, with Ronnie with his marketing and digital marketing or whatever, so that they can focus on those duties. But there is that CM that can do things that perhaps they are not in a position to do, or to free up time so that they can focus on those other duties. I'm all for having a CM or two to have that dedicated role for both companies.
Well, you have people that make great gameplay videos, right? Some of these people are also very good at communicating. But I want to point out, during the preview season, how important it is to make your game shine in the gameplay aspect. And you have people that would do it for free, that do it for free when the game comes out, even with non-monetized YouTube channels. You have, I'm not tooting my own horn, but I do think that I put out good gameplay, quality gameplay videos, and people really leave positive comments, and they say things like, "Hey, this is the way the game should be represented. Hey, this is the way the game should be played."
This looks good.
But you have, yeah, this looks good. You have people like the Live King, and myself, and Swaggy P. Lino, and whatnot, that will really represent your game in a really, really positive light. And you need to use these resources. You need to reach out to us, and you need to talk to us and be like, "Hey, guys, listen, we want to see this matchup on the floor. Can you put this matchup on the floor?" And we can do a mashup of highlights that would really make the game pop and get eyes on it. And people say, "Hey, look, this game looks great. Hey, I want to get my hands on this game. Hey, look, Live is turning the corner," and stuff like that. So I think that these companies, these AAA companies, really need to take a step back. Some of these people that are, directors, or they have the ability to reach out to these people, they really need to take a step back and reach out to the people that will really shine light on the positive aspects of their games and really promote it the right way. And the same with community managers, people like you and stuff like that, that really can not only promote the game in the right light, but really have a good way with words, and that can really, respond to some questions and even critiques about the game. Those people exist, and a lot of those people have been in the community. We talked about, you talked about this, pushing out the old guard, right? Like how it almost feels like you do that. A lot of these people have been playing basketball video games since the 90s, like you and I and Swag and whatnot and Rock. And I think that these people need to be utilized. You bring on a creative, a director, Scott O'Gallagher, who's you and my age. Why are you bringing him on? Because of all of his knowledge, right? From all of his
For sure.
experience in the basketball gaming industry. So why would you push out anybody else around Scott's age, or even a little bit older, who's been around for a long time and who knows a good amount about the ins and outs of basketball gaming? So utilize your resources. To go back to the question, to circle back to what Art said, I do think that it would be beneficial to have somebody in there being able to respond to Art. I see why they don't. But I think that if you get a good couple good community managers who are very well-rounded and can answer for different aspects of the game, I think that, those community managers can also comment on some of the art aspects.
And you bring up a good point there, is that you could utilize community leaders, figures in the community, which they kind of do with various programs like Game Changers, like what 2K is doing with the mayor of the boroughs in my career in the city. So there is that community outreach to a certain extent, but they could be doing what they used to do back in the day, have that CM be the port of call for people, for content creators like us, like OS, etc., and like various YouTubers, people who are going to push out information, and for us to be able to liaise with that person and say, okay, what is the information that we can take back to our community and take it from there? That we used to have that. It's kind of not working as well as it used to be, because, as you said, and as I've talked about before, it does feel like the old guard's being pushed out, like they are just focusing on, and of course you're going to focus on current trends and YouTube and Twitch is where it's at and everything, but I do think that they're underutilizing, as you say, the resources within their own community, as far as content creators who can be trusted to deliver that information and who could liaise with a CM or another figure to some kind of PR or community outreach program, which, again, I think is what Game Changers in particular is supposed to be. Whether it's working out as well as it should, you know, that's that, I guess we could get into that. We could do a whole podcast on that, I suppose. But yeah, I agree. There's a lot of ways you could do it, but I think having those dedicated people to talk to the community, whether it's the community at large or figures within the community, is very important to deliver that information and to be that port of call to give feedback to pass along to the developers. And kind of be that go-between when developers need that shield, like we've talked before about developers needing to take a break because of the toxicity on social media, so that the community manager can be that person who is who weathers the storm, and which is not pleasant, I'm sure, for a lot of CMs in the past. But they need to be that go-between who can fill that role and be that person to contact and to push information out like that. That's already happening with people who are kind of taking that de facto role at the moment, but have that dedicated person or a couple of people to do it, depending on how you need to divide up the duties with basketball gaming for both Live and 2K. Yeah, absolutely the right move moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I want people to think about this too, is, you know, when developers take breaks like that and they go on rants like Dazar did, which you remember that really long thread that he made, that's not a good look. That's not a good look for the company. If you can avoid that, like you said, by having the dedicated community managers who that's their job, in order to kind of control that situation, and be a voice of reason and a voice in the community, I think that's a much better look.
It is,
To have that. So that was not a good look on 2K's part. A couple developers took a break during that time because of the negativity. So, yeah, I agree. And I think those were also great questions. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much to Art for those. We will keep that third question in our pockets probably for next week, after we've had a bit more of a look at 2K21 next gen. And we'll have more to see after this week, I would assume. So we'll perhaps have a bit more perspective on what's left to do in this generation. Although my preliminary answer to that question is that there's definitely going to be room for improvement as the generation looms.
Oh, of course. And, you know, I want people to understand something. NBA 2K14, when it came out for Xbox One and PS4, was very bare bones. It had issues with, you know, with saves. You could only save like 5 My Leagues.
That's right.
Yep. They weren't even calling it My League at the time. They had very limited, you only had one custom roster that you could use. You know, you didn't have the roster sharing. It was a very basic release. I mean, it caught people's eyes because of the graphical improvements, and because the gameplay was still so strong, because they used much of it from NBA 2K13 and NBA 2K14 from PC. But I do realize I'm not dead to the fact that there's going to be room for improvement, that oftentimes they're gonna, you know, the first year is for fleshing out issues and really sharpening up the core game and the core game experience and the modes and whatnot. So I am expecting issues. I just hope that the on-court gameplay is solid.
As we all do, and we will definitely get into that question a little bit more next week, along with another question that is submitted. Once again, thank you to Art for sending in those questions, and we invite everybody to send in questions each and every week. We will be putting out a call for them because, yeah, the mailbag segments are fun to do.
Yeah, I really enjoy this. It's why I added it to Virtual Hoop Dreams as well, and why I have one on Holding Court, just because we love hearing from you guys. It's a community. It's a basketball community. So, you know, answering these questions and stuff is fun, and I also think that it's helpful. So,
indeed. And with that being said, we have come to the end of episode number 348 of the NLSC podcast. We thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. The show comes out each and every week on the NLSC, which is nba-live.com. We're also on various podcatching apps, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. Search for us on those platforms, look for the NLSC logo, NLSC podcast logo, and that will be us. Feel free to leave a review on platforms that allow it, but as long as you're tuning in and enjoying the show, that is the main thing. And as we wrap up, Derek, where can we find you on socials and what you're doing at the moment?
You can find me on Twitter at D4384, YouTube D4Three, on the NLSC D4Three as a contributor over there. Holding Court with D4Three episode 10 has been put on hold with a lot of things going on in my life recently, and I'll try to release that next week. As far as what I'm working on, I'm chipping away at UCTR version 3. I've added a bunch of teams. I've been converting a bunch of faces and making faces for that version, including the 0203 Orlando Magic, 0203 Houston Rockets, 90-91 Jazz, 92-93 Hawks, 13-14 Spurs, 13-14 Clippers, etc. So hoping to push that out within the next month. Still some work to do, etc. And I've also been helping. I made a tutorial on a modding tutorial on how to convert faces from 2K21, 2K20, 2K18, 2K19 over to 2K17, and that's been helpful for Simon Lee and 707, who are working on a 2021 roster for NBA 2K17. So it was nice to get a tutorial out there because I think we need more of them.
Definitely.
For modding. So I did that, and I've been kind of keeping an eye on there as well. Whether I play that roster or not, I probably won't, just because I'm not a fan of the now NBA, really. But I'm very impressed by the progress that they're making with that roster over there.
Definitely check that out in the NBA 2K17 section along with D's stuff. And, of course, everything that's going on with our modding section throughout the forum. And get involved in the conversation, whether it's in the comment sections on my articles and the news bulletins, but also throughout the forum. We're here for you to talk about basketball games, to develop mods, and all that fun stuff. As for me, I will also be chipping away at my various modding projects, including the current roster for NBA 2K11 and various other mods that I have in my back pocket that I'd love to work on once that is a little bit closer to completion, or indeed completed and released. We'll be looking to do a next season roster if I get this all completed in time. It'll be fun to just continue on with the base all ready to go, and of course other projects as well for 2K11, a couple of other games, which I will talk about in time. Of course, I have all my original content coming out each and every week, Monday tip-off, Wayback Wednesday, Friday 5, and of course the NLSC podcast. Doing a bit more with YouTube, I will get our podcast back up on YouTube very, very shortly. Just need to create those videos. We also have that NLSC overtime that we recorded. I will be putting that up there as well. So some fun stuff coming. Stay tuned for that. You can also connect with me on Twitter. I'm at AndrewNLSC. The NLSC itself is on Twitter and Facebook at the NLSC. On Instagram, we are NLSC Basketball. Our aforementioned YouTube channel is NBA Live Series Center. And of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But yes, that's all for this week. Thank you once again for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Derek.
Go get buckets, everyone.